You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I'm your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. And if you are listening to this, I am not here. I am either on route to this place on my shirt. If you're looking, I am wearing a Michigan shirt with a maize and blue Mickey Mouse on it. So I'm wearing it to remind you of where I am. And I'll be doing so all week since I'm pre-recording all of these. So I'm your man, not on the ground, Isaiah Hull. we're going to do lists. That's what we're doing all week. So if there's breaking news, guess what? It ain't going to be here. We'll talk about it on Friday. Today, on Tuesday, we are going to do 15 most important players for Michigan heading into the spring. I'm doing a countdown. Listapalooza, I'm calling it. So let's start at number 15. And hopefully I kept this the same. I might not have kept it the same as what I did, because I write it in notes, like the list, and then I go and write everything. And sometimes I switch things around. But I think I kept this pretty much the same. So number 15, I put Drake Nugent as my number 15 most important players. And this is kind of a twofer, because to me, it's Drake Nugent's job to lose, coming as a transfer over from Stanford, being a guy who was not a true finalist for the Remington Trophy, but like a quarter finalist-ish type position. So I have him as being that type of dude, right? That he should, remember how last year I was like, Olu's like going to really be amazing and win the Remington. I am projecting that Drake Nugent's going to be somewhere between Andrew Vistardis and Olu. So, and with the talent that's behind him, the people he's going to have to battle it out, because there is a chance that they decide to move Zach Zinter in the interior. Maybe, you know, that is a possibility. Raheem Anderson is raring and ready to go. Greg Crippen was considered the center of the future, and then we haven't really heard about him. Seems like maybe he's fallen behind a little bit. So, it's kind of like an all-encompassing thing, because Drake Nugent is important for the sake of whatever he does or doesn't do affects the rest of that group. Affects the rest of this offensive line, no less. So I have him at number 15 for that reason. By the way, I'm going to take a quick step back and say it was mighty difficult to come up with just 15 guys, because I really could have gone 20-something deep. I could have maybe gone 30 deep. That's where this team is. There's guys that are left out that you're gonna get through this list and be like, how could you not put this guy on there? It's like, well, because I had to make some choices. And I also wanted to throw a couple transfers in there. So we got a couple of them in there. But there's guys that I think are going to be insanely good for Michigan. I am super excited about A.J. Barner, for instance. He's not on this list. But I'll keep the rest of it. You'll find out the rest of it when we get there. So let's get to number 14. And that's Rod Moore. I think that he is a five-star caliber player. I think out of all the safeties, he is the best that they have. He is phenomenal. He led the team with interceptions last year, four. And I think his star is just climbing. I think he is smart. I mean, he's a film room junkie. I just don't think that there's anything to not like. And I just think that, especially considering some of the, we don't know what's happening on the edges of the secondary, knowing what you have in the middle and having some star type guys in the middle really can pay some huge dividends. And Rod Moore is that guy. Not the last of our transfers. That's a spoiler alert. But next I have Ladarius Henderson, who comes aboard from Arizona State. And he was a mauler at Arizona State playing left guard. I believe it was the left guard. He's expected to be the left tackle replacing Ryan Hayes. And that's just important in and of itself, because I think center and left tackle are the two most important positions you can play on an offensive line. One of them more so in the run game, and the other one's more so in the pass game. But he is an absolute mauler. I don't think there's any way he doesn't start. Unless he has an absolute implosion, and that's why it's important that he gets his feet wet in spring here. But I think he's going to be Olu 2.0 in the sense of, not that he's better than Olu, but that he comes in and everyone's like, this dude is incredible. He is the next guy who has come in and added to the offensive line. And I mean, they've got three really good options in their three transfers. Between Nugent, him, and Miles Hinton. I mean, that is an insane haul. If Michigan got just one of those, I would have been like, all right, good job. Good work. But they got three. And Ladarius Henderson is my favorite of the three. Number 12, I have Cornelius Johnson, the head of the wide receiver group, I would say. Now, all my eyes are on Roman Wilson in a big way because I think that he could really be an insanely good player if given the chance. His problem has been the last two seasons have been truncated in the middle of the season by injuries. Week 5 this last year, concussion. Week 5 the year beforehand, broken or hand or whatever it was against Wisconsin. So maybe you just sit him in week 5 and because that seems to be his trouble week. But I have Cornelius being, spoiler, the top wide receiver on this group. 620 yards receiving in 2021. 499 in 2022. Need him to take the mantle up again. Yes, he's been inconsistent, but he made some of the biggest plays when they've mattered most. Ohio State game, Indiana game. He's got that capability. It seems like just right when you are starting to be like, oh, what is he even doing on the field? Get him out of there. Then it's like he feels what your negativity that you're directing towards him internally, and he comes out and just suddenly turns it up a notch and is just amazing. You'd like to see him just be a little bit better. But I think the wide receiver group, I think he's the leader of that group. And we'll see what happens. But Michigan, if they're going to have a game breaker, it's either one of the young guys we haven't really seen yet, or it's Roman Wilson. But I think Mr. Dependable would be Cornelius Johnson. Finishing us out in this segment is a former wide receiver, and that's Mike Sainristil still. I probably should have had him up much higher because he is got two things going for him. Number one, he was really good last year playing nickel, like really good. But on top of that, he's a team captain and brings leadership. But and certainly he could end up being the second corner. There's always that possibility, but I mean, Mike Sainristil still playing the nickelback position is not necessarily going to be a glory situation because they're not on the field all the time. Sometimes they are, depending on what the defense wants to run versus a certain offense, but typically they're not. And although I would bet if I looked at his snap counts, he was probably on the field most of the time. But I just think that he's just scratching the surface of what he can do on defense. He said he wanted to take this offseason to really hone in on the technical aspects because last year it was just kind of getting his feet wet and trying to, reacclimate himself to the defensive side since he hasn't played it since high school. But then you add the leadership component and it could be really good. All right, we're going to get to our top 10 here in just a moment. Before we do that, and I closed my window, and now I have to open it back up. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and calories? Then you have got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me and you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I have got just the thing for you. You got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious you won't think they're good for you. They're perfect for your New Year's resolution. So what makes Built Bars so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. What's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Well, now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Head back to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box of their hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. All right, let's get back to our list. Zuri has been going nuts this entire episode and the episode before it. But that's just who she is. That's just how she does. Anyhow. All right, number 10. Now we're to the 10 most important players. Ernest Hausman. And this is another twofer. We're doing the same deal as we did with Drake Nugent. Because Mike Barrett's coming back. I sat there and debated which one do I want to put in. Ernest Hausman or Mike Barrett here. It's essentially both of them. Because to me, if Ernest Hausman has the capability that we think he might have, he very well could come in and wrest that spot away and say, well, why'd you come back for a sixth year, Mike Barrett? I don't think that'll happen. I think they'll platoon anyway. I mean, it might even be Mike Barrett. It could be that, you know, he could be the guy that said, all right, Kalel Mullings, you're going to be a running back full time. You know, that type of thing. Again, number one player in the transfer portal before Travis Hunter came about. I just think that he pushes the rest of the linebacking core, pushes them up higher, right? It's that iron sharpens iron situation in a lot of ways. So that's why I have him as my number 10. Number 9, I have Mason Graham. If I was to bet who's going to be the starter opposite Chris Jenkins in the defensive front, the tip of the spear, it would be Mason Graham. Played really well pretty much all season for being a first-year guy. And again, like I said, you know, guy makes a big jump from year one to year two. That's how it works, in my opinion. I asked Jim Harbaugh about that, and he was like, that is an astute observation. So, I mean, even he agrees. So, I have Mason Graham as being that guy. I just think, like, now that you got a year under his belt, he could just be an absolute force. And again, iron sharpens iron. What does that mean for Kenneth Grant? Some of those guys that are competing, they're in the middle. So, will he be a Mozzie-level guy that's taking on double teams? I don't know. But I really like that combo. I mean, even in, you know, late in the season, if you're like, yeah, Mozzie's not going to be in, it's going to be Mason Graham and Chris Jenkins, I'd be like, sweet. Completely good with that. Number 8 is Colston Loveland. Because tight end, as always, is going to be a focal point in this offense. It was a focal point for Michigan down the stretch. We saw the long touchdown in the Ohio State game. Saw the amazing touchdown. I was standing right behind him. I didn't see him come down with it in the Big Ten championship game. But still, every time I see the highlights, I'm like, how did he come down with that? And now, especially with Luke and Eric gone, he really is the focal point. I mean, again, I'm really excited about A.J. Barner. Seems like now should also be Matthew Hibner's time. But Colston Loveland has the opportunity to be the best tight end. As far as receiving is concerned, that Michigan's had. No offense to our good friend Jake Butt. I'll call him. I'll tell him that I said this. I mean, he would probably say the same thing, to be honest. Pretty good. I do want to check out something real quick while we have this up. And of course, I don't have the window up because I'm always closing windows. Out of my own curiosity. So Colston Loveland ended up being 5th on the team in receiving this past year. 16 receptions, 235 yards, 2 touchdowns. Eric All, now, he didn't get much play in year one. They thought he was going to. He didn't. 1 reception, 10 yards, no touchdowns. 2020 is when he really started going. 12 receptions, 82 yards, no touchdowns. Last year was his big year. 38, and then he had 38 catches, 437, 2 touchdowns. Jake Butt, go back to 2013, 20 catches, 235 yards, two touchdowns. 235 and 2. Colston Loveland, 16, 235 and 2. He got the yardage with four less catches. Averaged 16.8 to Jake Butt, averaging 11.75. Pretty good. So Colston Loveland is my number 8. Number 7 is Donovan Edwards. This is another guy that I really could have jacked up there, but there's just so many different players to pick from. Donovan Edwards could end up being a top 3 guy because he can run, and then when his hand is healthy, he can catch. And now he also has the experience. It's not just coming in for a couple plays, because most of the season, that's kind of what it was. Come in for a couple plays and whatever. I mean, I know he was battling injuries and what have you, but now that he knows what it takes to be a starter, he comes in as like a co-starter, backup-ish type guy. And if he's fully healthy, his hands healed, he's going to be a factor in the receiving game, which we didn't really get to see this last year. But having that 1-2 punch, I mean, I would have felt fine if it was just a Donovan Edwards punch. But it's a 1-2 punch with Donovan and Blake Corum, and I have him at number 7. Because he isn't the be-all, end-all at his position due to Blake Corum coming back. So, spoiler, Blake Corum is ahead of him. Finishing us out in segment 2, Will Johnson at number 6. Because right now, he is the only surefire thing at cornerback. End up rating out as one of the best cornerbacks in the Big Ten and in the country, even in his first year. Looked really rocky at the beginning of the year. I think it was that Colorado State game. They were kind of going after him. And then by the end of the year, you didn't want to go after him. That was a mistake. And it was his first year. 5-star. So, he would be my number 6. He is the anchor of the secondary. Spoiler, he is the highest rated secondary person I have on here. And there's a lot of good guys in that secondary. I already had Rod Moore. I could have put in McCary. RJ Moten, I know he doesn't get a lot of love, but he makes some heads up plays. Can be a little bit confounding at times. Probably be more in the top 25. But I got Will Johnson at number 6. All right, we are going to continue forward. And we are going to do that momentarily. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. And we're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because they're the number one sports book in America. That's FanDuel. If you're new to FanDuel, that's even better. They have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/lockdown to claim your no-sweat first bet on 57. I almost said 57 Super Bowl. That's FanDuel.com/lockdown. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook of the NFL. This is all moving way too fast for me. Some of you don't get the ads based off of where you're watching or listening, but you're missing out. You're missing out when I'm stumbling and fumbling and all of that kind of stuff. All right, we've got 5 more. 5 more guys. The top 5. My top 5 most important players. Number 5 is Junior Colson. Because the defense, if you have an elite linebacking core, you're pretty much going to do whatever you want defensively in a lot of ways. I mean, we saw what Devin Bush was able to do. Now, I predicted that Junior Colson was going to be a second coming of Devin Bush, and that wasn't the case last year. Still finished with 101 tackles in 14 games. Pretty good. But made some mistakes. it was somewhat inconsistent. And I think that he's still kind of in a learning process. This was his first year starting, really. And so I'm curious to see it going from first year starting to second year starting. How does he build? But being kind of the leader in the middle of that entire defense, he is of utmost importance. And that doesn't matter if it's Junior Colson or if it's me at middle linebacker. But having a guy that's as good as he is, if he can just make his highlights, the majority of what he does, highlights from 2022, the majority of what he does in 2023, Michigan will be in a good spot. Number four, I had to decide between another offensive lineman. And I went with Zach Zinter. So no Trevor Keegan on this list. Zach Zinter is a mauler. He's a bruiser. He's a brawler. He's a road grader. Everything that you want. Probably would have been like a second round guy, maybe third round guy if he went to the NFL draft. So good. I mean, just even having him and Trevor back is just insane. It's an embarrassment of riches. Like, you can really say who's got it better than us? Nobody. With the offensive line and those two guys in general. They're just so good. But Zach Zinter, if he stays at left guard, you've got continued stability. You know that's going to be good over there. He gets after it, man. So he's my number four. I think I'm going to go through these kind of quickly, but because I think a lot of them, these last ones speak for themselves. I don't have to explain myself why they're so important. Number three is Chris Jenkins. Why is he so important? Well, because if they didn't have Chris Jenkins, then you've got two new starters on the front of the defensive line. But on top of it, he really ascended last year. I mean, he was always good as far as the last 2 years are concerned, but by the end of the year, started looking pretty good. And he's supposedly over 300 pounds now. Already, winter conditioning going really well for the smiley maniac. I asked him, so who was it that I asked? I said, ask Trevor Keegan, who if you had to have somebody that you were going to have to fight somebody and you could only bring one player with you, who would it be? He said, he started to say Mozzie, and he's like, no, Mozzie would get tired. He's like, it would be Chris Jenkins and Chris Jenkins. So I told him about it, and this is at the Fiesta Bowl media day thing. So I asked Chris Jenkins about it, and he's like, well, yeah, because I'm crazy. And I'm like, how are you crazy? You're always just smiling and happy. And he's like, no, I'm crazy. Michigan needs some crazy up front, especially with Mozzie gone. He's going to be that leader. And I think he's got that leadership in him. He got that dog in him. Number two. So we got two and one. Who's left? My number two is JJ McCarthy. Therefore, number one is Blake Corum. This part was actually a pretty hard decision. Because how do you decide between the two? Normally, I'd put the quarterback up number one. But I think when you've got a guy that's as good as Blake Corum, it takes some pressure off of the quarterback. Because you can hand it to him, and like there were so many times this year where it's like Michigan's facing third and six. They hand it to Blake Corum and he gets 10. Most teams, when they're at third and six, third and five, third and four, they ain't running the ball. Michigan has the capability and luxury of being able to do that. So it takes a lot of pressure off of JJ McCarthy. And it allows JJ McCarthy, if they do decide on third and six, he has options. Because they'll key in on Blake Corum or Donovan Edwards, but probably more so Blake Corum. Still, JJ, it's kind of 1A, 1B, because if Blake Corum goes down, you still got Donovan Edwards. If JJ McCarthy goes down, is Davis Warren up for the challenge? I don't know. We'll find out. Hopefully we won't. But JJ is number two. You expect him to take a really big step forward. I got to fix the mic again. You expect him to take a really big step forward now that he's had a year starting under his belt. You hope he learns from the mistakes that happened in the college football playoff game. Really the only game where he made some really gigantic, really big mistakes. He made some mistakes throughout the season, but those were the ones where he made some really gigantic, really big mistakes, and it cost them at the worst time. If he learns from that, takes care of the football, really felt like he was starting to surge. I mean, heck, even though he made those mistakes, he kind of made up for them in a lot of ways, put Michigan in a position to wrest the game away from TCU. And now if he's back for spring ball and has that opportunity to get better, unlike last year in the spring, he could really grow. He could be a Heisman candidate. He could be all the things that Michigan fans have longed for. So my number one is Blake Corum, and I kind of already said why. If he would have remained healthy, he probably would have won the Heisman Trophy. And to get that guy back for another year is just stupid. In the best possible way. Like, how, what, why, where, which. Incredible. Changes the entire dynamics of the offense. Now, I hope Michigan isn't so reliant on him as it was at times. But I would be surprised if he doesn't get another 1,000 yards. He's just that good. Just really incredible and even better person. That's what makes it all that much more insane. All right, so this was Tuesday's episode. We will be back on Wednesday, taped. I mean, these are all taped. I mean, not actually live. No one's even heard Monday yet at the time of me saying this. But we'll be back with the Wednesday episode, taped, of the 10 breakout players for Michigan heading into spring. The guys that are just going to go above and beyond. The guys that maybe we're not talking about enough. Thursday, we're going to do the 10 most overlooked players. So that's what we got. All right, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace.